B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good-nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So here we go. First and goal for Russ and company. Play fake. He's going to half roll right side. Still looking. Throws back inside. Ball is tipped up. Is it caught? It is. It's caught in the back of the end zone by Hollister. Touchdown, Seahawks.
And Hollister reaches up with one hand and brings it in. And he's really just a safety valve on this play. Wasn't in the route pattern and just stayed alive and crept into the end zone and gets the one. And he's really getting held. What concentration. He pins it against his own helmet and then brings it in with two as he lands on his back.
That is something that stood out in the game again last night. Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Again, Greg is brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. You got to see Jacob Hollister. They also had Cody. Was that his brother?
Yeah, right.
The receiver. So
yeah.
Jacob Hollister, the tight end, that was the one-handed touchdown catch. Safety valve on that play, but felt like towards the end of that ball game was kind of a featured guy. I mean, Wilson went to him a bunch, including on the interception in overtime. But Jacob Hollister is a key part of that. You saw DK Metcalf running around out there, who is a second guest for the Patriots, who took N'Keal Harry about 100 spots before in the draft. Not to mention Josh Gordon, who was active. You saw him on the bike to begin the game, and they said something. And then he disappeared where they weren't mentioning him, or they didn't say anything. I didn't notice him. And then all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter and overtime, on big third downs, there he is catching slants for first downs.
Because they lost Lockett. Lockett got hurt. Yeah, and so Gordon get into the game, and his two catches were both for huge first downs.
Played 28 snaps. The second one was a great catch because it was like down by his, you know, by his shoes.
Okay. Excellent play.
So do Patriots fans have the right to be frustrated, Greg, or what? You know, what would you second guess the most on that list? DK Metcalf, Jacob Hollister, or Josh Gordon?
Well, it's Hollister. I mean, because look, they didn't have Gronk. They didn't know what they were doing at tight end, and they decided to trade him to the Seahawks. Now, I understand why they did it, but they had already invested enough time in the kid. Yeah, he couldn't stay on the field here. He just couldn't. And so they were sick of it, and they traded him. So I understand that. But considering their situation at tight end at the time, I would have at least given him a chance through training camp, see what's going on, and then maybe deal him or cut him or whatever. But the situation was too dire at the time. I do not blame them on Gordon. From what I'm hearing, he started to become unreliable, and they couldn't count on him. He will flame out in Seattle just like he's flamed out every other place. And so I don't blame him on that.
I mean, it's Hollister too. And I'll tell you, and not just because of Gronk. I also think because of Devlin. Like, I look at that and say, I think you could put him
kid
in.
Kid can't block his way out of a paper bag.
Could you run him in? Could you run him as a receiver out of the backfield? Like an H-back or a fullback?
No. Not
oh,
that
I think
kid.
You could.
No.
I look at Hollister and I say,
Mr. Glass, no.
I mean, he was decent when he was here.
Was on the field, he never stayed on the field ever.
Why you get mad at me?
Get mad.
No, I got some other things I want to get mad about. The Garoppolo stuff too. DK Metcalf, bullcrap.
Hollister's the one I hold him accountable for.
Okay, so I just wonder, the health thing's a factor. They traded him in April. You know, just going back at the end of April, it's like, you want to give him another crack, you know, in training camp? And I just wonder, and we had this long discussion, last week, Greg, and I know you've written about this as well, about the Patriots' inability to get young receivers and draft develop young receivers. It's just been a big hole there in their development game over the last two decades, you know, really. They just haven't done it since Deion Branch. I mean, it's crazy. How much is the quarterback, you know, a part of that, where he shuts out young players or has lost patience as he's gotten older or is way ahead in the playbook than young players? You know, all those things that we talk about with Brady. What's his role in that? And I just wonder if Jacob Hollister is one of those guys that Brady just doesn't have any time for. He's not going to lobby for. He's not going to go to bat for. He's not going to spend extra time with. He's just another scrub roster player, fringe roster player, I should say, that Brady has no investment in. And so he's just, you know, he gets traded at the end of April for a 7th-round pick because Brady doesn't care about him. And when, obviously, if you invested in him a little bit and looked at him a little bit, he's got nice hands. I mean, like that, I could tell you right out of the chute. And Seattle has him, kept him on the roster, kept him in the fold, has worked with him, and is getting something out of him. And I sort of look at a guy like Jacob Hollister and says, at that position, at the pass-catching positions, that doesn't happen here in New England anymore. It doesn't. It happens at other positions. They find diamonds in the rough for undrafted guys or no-name guys that they develop, and over time they become something. I don't feel like they do that at the pass-catching positions anymore. These guys don't... I don't know. That's just sort of my takeaway on Jacob Hollister. I mean, when's the last Jacob Hollister we had around here?
No, I mean, I think it's valid, and certainly Brady factors into this. I think the biggest thing is...
He just wants names and star power
It's not just that. It's the biggest thing in my mind. It's the playbook and the volume, and that McDaniels and Brady are way up here, and everybody else just can't catch up. And I think they... If you're going to criticize them, you know, we look at defense, at least take this season aside because it's different because they have so many veterans who have been here. They started at a different place. But almost every year we talk about the defense and they start out basic. And for the first 4-8 games, they don't do much stuff. And then they start building off of it as a unit as they go. On offense, that doesn't happen. Like, Belichick should have told McDaniels and Brady at some point, like, sorry, we need to get more younger guys involved. You guys need to start with a basic offense.
Dumb
and then
it down.
We can go, then we can move on from there.
Fine.
But we can't start at 20 years of experience. We just can't.
Dumb it down.
I mean, like I said all last week, I'll blame whoever. I don't care. Bill and his personnel moves, Brady for shutting guys out or just wanting veterans or stars, or the playbook's too complicated. I'll blame anybody. All of them, none of them, any combination. All I know is those little sort of success stories in the pass-catching game, the Jacob Hollisters, I feel like it's been a while since we've had one.
I mean, to me, last night was absolutely more about Brady than it was about Bill. Like, I look at Josh Gordon's been there 10 minutes. Russell Wilson threw to him in the fourth quarter in overtime on third down twice.
Well, but the Patriots did that stuff with him as soon as he got here. All
on
he did was
down?
Run a couple slants.
Yeah, Brady threw to Gordon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Hollister thing?
Hollister's different.
Hollister in the last two games, 12 catches, 99 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Maz, if Brady had it his way, Gordon would still be here. That
exactly.
was a team decision.
Because
he was like late for a meeting. Oh, who cares?
I'm not convinced of that.
A star, a veteran. I feel like Brady just gravitates towards that, and he doesn't have... Well, I mean, you just tell me. Whatever it is, where are those little rags to riches, no-name success stories where the Patriots have all over the roster? It's like a calling card of their dynasty. The pass catchers. I don't feel like that happens anymore. The Jacob Hollisters now, and it hasn't happened really much even at that position elsewhere. Hollister's just someone I saw last night.
I'm just telling you that Russell Wilson has two new guys on his team that he was thrown to in clutch situations.
Do you want to get mad about DK Metcalf?
Yeah. I mean, who cares about what has DK Metcalf done? What, he runs down the field a few times? The whole Seattle offense is basically Russell Wilson drops back and then makes it up on the fly. So anybody can play in that offense as long as you stay alive. The Patriots run it from the pocket. It's precise. It's 3 steps, 5 steps, 7 steps. The ball comes out. You got to be where you need to be. I mean, you can't compare Seattle and New England. You just can't.
So
so Harry got hurt. He hasn't been out there yet. That doesn't mean he's a bust. That doesn't mean DK Metcalf is better. I mean, it just means that Harry had some bad luck.
That's the first time that I saw Metcalf snap in, snap out. I wasn't that impressed.
No, me neither. I'm with Greg on this.
He's just a big guy that, so, and you know, the Lombardi, we played this Lombardi cut last week where he was mocking people for DK Metcalf and the route tree. I see what he was saying. He doesn't run routes.
So I'll tell you what I don't like about him.
But hold on, just say again. The quarterback looks at him.
Yep.
Throws to him.
Yep.
And he's a part of the offense. And he's, so that's why you want to incorporate young players and new players, because the more you have, the more you can do in all of that. So that, to me, that's sort of just another example of it, that if DK Metcalf were on the Patriots and he's not really a good route runner, and who knows, is raw and has a long way to go, would Brady be looking at him or throwing to him or
buried?
Would he be buried?
Buried.
And that's just sort of, so that's where I tie in from just how he played. He's a specimen. I mean, he's freaking huge, but I didn't say anything special.
No, so what I don't like about Metcalf, too, is the fumbles. He's had 2 big fumbles this year. Huge, but that's a different story for another day. But as it pertains to Brady, Russell Wilson's going to be 31 in 2 weeks. He's got how many years ahead of him?
I know, and he's deep in his playbook, and I'm sure it's complicated for him, and he still... He's not throwing too much. He's not surrounded by much. And I don't hear this thing out in Seattle about trusting his receivers and the circle of trust and his knowledge of the playbook is here and his rookies. I don't hear any of that stuff.
No,
I just see him out there playing with the guys that he's given.
Right. And I didn't finish the thought.
I'm sorry.
So, no. But what I was going to say is Wilson's 31. So he can at least look at a guy like Metcalf and say, I'm going to work with this guy for the next 4 years. I feel like the Brady problem has gotten worse this year.
Maybe.
Way worse. It was bad before, don't get me wrong. But you want to look for evidence that he's checking out after this? He's looking to go, I'm not going to work with that guy. What? Why should I put my time in with him? I'm not going to be here to reap the benefit of it.
Maybe. That's it, Craig. I'm sorry.
And I'm not justifying it.
No, but maybe
I'm just trying to wonder what's going through his head.
Maybe that's it.
Well, I mean, I do think you can make the case that if there is a Brady problem, then it's gotten worse this year. Because I think it goes along with all the Tom-centric stuff over the past couple of years where he's like, you know, all the decisions have been based on him. You know, I'm not going to show up in the offseason. I'm going to, you know, that's fine. But I still have to go back to, and you can point to Hollister and, okay, he's working. But it's just because when he was on the field here, it worked. They haven't gotten good players at receiver and tight end that can go on and play other. I mean, you know, from Taylor Price to, you know, Dobson and Boyce and all these guys. They didn't bring anybody who works. They're not players. So what do you expect Tom to do?
Can I just add one thing?
Please.
That touched on that Wilson threw to Hollister on that play. That was a great play by the quarterback. Great play by the quarterback. Like, that is a guy in the end zone who doesn't have a ton of experience, relatively speaking, and the quarterback throwing him open and trusting him to make a play. That was Wilson putting his fate in Hollister's hands.
Trusting or just praying?
Either.
I mean, I think there's a difference. Well, I mean, I don't think he's like, oh, that's Jacob Hollister. I know I can trust him, so I'm just going to float it up there in the end zone. I think he was desperate to make a play. He put it to an area where only his receiver could get it, and Hollister got it.
He's playing with his guys. He's playing with them.
Because they have a simpleton offense, and most of it is just Russell Wilson making it up as he goes along.
So it's
a lot
offense.
Of guys can play in that.
So it's the offense.
Yes.
It's not his willingness to look at different guys and I don't know, Greg. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I mean, what? Brady threw passes to Hollister here, touchdown passes. Josh Gordon, same thing. So what happened the other night? What's the difference?
Josh Gordon's not on my list.
Greg, if he's the only one who understands the offense, they have to change it.
I agree with you on that.
Okay, so let's pick this up on the other side. The big boy's getting angry, which is good. He has something to get angry about with Garoppolo. We'll pick up that as well. After, though, we first have to do 10 questions. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions around the league and in New England. 10 minutes. We got to be quick. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options?
This is ridiculous is what I'm saying, then.
You're way more ridiculous.
Way more ridiculous. You are.
That was a very mature conversation.
It was, yeah. Well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. No, you're stupid. Stupid.
He was stupider. That's pretty much how that went. Next. That's the impression of someone being homesick at camp. Next. Benintendi's sort of an untouchable to me because I think he's Fred Lynn. That was severely edited there, I think.
I think so, too.
I don't remember that. Go ahead.
They are all suckbag offenses through the year. Holy crap.
Next.
32nd, 31st, 30th, 28, 27, 25, 22. Holy crap. Wow, if they played garbage.
Next.
Your commentary yesterday on the three wings allows me to blow you.
Okay, so the three wing commentary.
That one is close.
That was me getting blood by Jimmy Stewart.
So just to clarify, it is blah. That allows me to blah.
Blah.
That's not what
blah.
I heard.
Blah. He's blahing me.
Your commentary yesterday on the three wings allows me to blow you.
Okay, so the three wing commentary. Number 10. We've asked this a few different times this year, but I think it's worth an update. Coach of the year, top three. Who's the NFL coach of the year? There's a lot of good candidates.
John Gruden, Frank Reich, once Brissett comes back, LaFleur, not Mike Tomlin. I'm sorry, I'm not buying into the Steelers. They beat the Chargers, who were terrible. The Dolphins, who were terrible. Brissett got hurt in the Colts win, and then the Rams just stink right now. So, no, I'm not buying on the Steelers.
That's what I was driving at. Does Tomlin creep into your top three?
Who was number one?
Gruden.
Gruden.
Boy, it didn't take you long to get into the Vegas.
That's right, baby.
Wow. A lot of room in that ball bag in Vegas. I went with John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin. Suck on it, Greg.
Sean Payton.
Yeah. First of all, here's what I think the three of them have in common. Quarterback, quote-unquote, issues. And when I say that, I mean Harbaugh's had to completely build that thing around Lamar Jackson. They might now be the biggest threat to the Patriots in the AFC. In fact, I think they are. Payton obviously went 5-0 with his backup, even though they lost this week with Breeze. They're still the best team in that conference, if you ask me. And Tomlin, down to his third guy at one point, has the Steelers back in it.
Quick, Murray.
3-1. Kyle Shanahan, Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh's number one.
Kyle Shanahan's three.
Yeah.
Because he's winning with the bum quarterback.
Well, still the number one seed in the NFC. Team has completely turned around, helped to prop up West Coast Mark Sanchez and make him look somewhat respectable. So that's a big thing.
Next.
Well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. No, you're stupid. Stupid.
He was stupider. Number nine. Give me a suitable coach for the Dallas Cowboys. Give me a, meaning who should be coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but you just can't pick. This guy's going to be able to work with Jerry Jones. Who would be a good selection that the owner would accept?
With no other considerations, it would be Sean Payton. But he just inked a contract extension. So other than that, Greg Roman from the Ravens. I think he'd be perfect for Dak. He can he'd get creative on offense. He can deal with Jerry.
So you're talking about someone with the personality to tolerate the owner.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know if Sean Payton would at this point.
Yeah, they're buddies.
I'm going to give you one on offense and one on defense.
Quick.
Andy Reid, Pete Carroll.
I'm going to give you Tony Romo. If they can do it in baseball, why not football? I know he's had no previous coaching experience, but as an analyst, he's shown he can be a good offensive mind. He can read defenses. Him and Jerry Jones are close. Cowboys fans would love it, and he understands what it means to win in Dallas.
That's interesting. The two you mentioned, Maz, I think those are too big to work with Jerry Jones. Jerry wants somebody he can control.
Reed's a pretty humble guy, though.
Next.
32nd, 31st, 30th, 28, 27, 25, 22. Holy crap. Wow, if they played garbage.
Number eight, Murray, I'll start with you. What's a more painful memory from the Eagles Super Bowl? Obviously, the Eagles this week on the schedule. Going back to that Super Bowl game, what was more painful for you? The memory of Malcolm Butler on the bench or the Philly special or something else?
It's something else. It's Brady's fumble with 2 minutes left. He didn't see a wide open James White. You go back and look at that play. It's infuriating because White is wide open. It's 38-33. It's 2 minutes and change. They convert there. They go down. They score. They win that game.
I went with Butler. I just think that was such a massive thing. I went Butler.
I have an entire list, but if I had to pick one thing, it would be not taking a timeout before the Eagles' game-winning touchdown. When the Patriots didn't know what they were doing on defense, it was 3rd and 7. You get a stop there. They just kick a field goal. That's all you need with more than 2 minutes left.
Before the Zach Ertz session.
Yeah, and they got totally outplayed on that. They should have taken a timeout and gotten on the same page, and they didn't.
Benintendi's sort of an untouchable to me because I think he's Fred Lynn. Photoshops. Number seven, bigger fatal flaw, Kansas City's defense or the Rams quarterback?
No question, it's the Kansas City defense. You can scheme around the quarterback, you can get more protection, but holy hell, are they terrible on defense. Ryan Tannehill, of all people, went 4 plays, 61 yards, with no timeouts in 58 seconds. That's atrocious. Ryan Tannehill.
Chiefs D. You get a Belichick coordinating that defense, he'd still be boned.
Yeah, it's the Kansas City defense. If you had Mahomes back as Kansas City, throw for over 400 yards, and they still lose because the defense is a disaster, it's Kansas City's defense.
Your commentary yesterday on the three wings allows me to blow you.
Okay, so the three wing commentary.
Ooh, that is
so close.
The more I hear that. Number six. Number six, rank them best to worst. You ready?
Oh, my God.
Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, Brian Hoyer.
Oh, my God.
Or let me put it another way. Who'd you want to have as your quarterback? Rank them the most desired to the least desired.
They're all horrible.
Obviously.
Josh Allen, Trubisky, Hoyer.
Hoyer. Hoyer, Trubisky, Allen, because at least Hoyer has a brain.
No, Trubisky, Allen, precipitous drop-off, then Hoyer. Both are young, so maybe they're fixable. Hoyer's an old, washed-up journeyman bum who is what he is.
I'm with Maz. I start with Hoyer. Hoyer's one. Hoyer's one, and then Trubisky, then Allen. That's your order. Next.
That's the blowing.
I was going to say, is that the sound of okay, the number five. Who's the biggest, the tool bag question, who's the biggest tool bag eagle of all time? All time.
Donovan McNabb, because he thought he carried himself like he was the greatest thing ever, and as we've seen in years since, anybody can quarterback that Andy Reid offense, like Nick Foles, and win a Super Bowl. And plus that Super Bowl drive when he was drive heaving and took 18 minutes.
You can't spell tool without T-O. T-O. Terrell Owens, tool.
Kind of an easy one.
Mike Mola for me, overrated bum from BC, one of the top five biggest draft busts in NFL history.
What a good one. He was a tool bag. Next.
This is ridiculous is what I'm saying then.
You're way more ridiculous.
Way more ridiculous.
You are. bringing the intellect here to Felger and Mass. Who's your favorite Eagle of all time?
Brian Dawkins. He just looked cool in his uniform, would kill people. Loved him.
So I have two, actually, but I'll give you just the one. Harold Carmichael, wide receiver, you know, long time ago, 6'8", played doubled at tight end and wide receiver, basically. I loved him.
Randall Cunningham for me. I just thought he was so electric back in the day.
I'll go Reggie White, and I didn't answer the tool bag question. Vermeil deserves some mention there. No, was he? Way back when. He became a bigger tool bag the older he got, but he's still a tool bag.
Someone else's wine at the Super Bowl.
Oh, exactly. Next.
Well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. No, you're stupid. Stupid.
He was stupider. What is the single most important team to the NFL over the next 5 years? You understand? What is the franchise that they need to get right more than any other over the next 5 years?
Giants. And do you want the second part of that?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and you said...
Well, who do they need to get... I mean, it's the same question.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, just let Gettleman do his thing. He'll rebuild the team. Just let him do his thing.
I also have the Giants, but I want to throw Dallas into the conversation, because if they could ever get a great team in Dallas, and they get some players down there...
They don't need a great team.
I know they don't, but Dallas...
They need just what they are, and they're the most popular team. The ratings are still the highest.
Like, I know.
The Giants, right where they are at 5-4, are a driver.
I know.
They don't, so they're already there. That's why I wouldn't put Dallas.
I'm going with Greg's Vegas Raiders. They need to show it can work in that market, that they're not going to lose an important fan base, and that people are going to come. I mean, it feels like a no-brainer that it'll work in Vegas, but who's to say?
It's the Giants or the Rams, or the Chargers, one of those L.A. teams. I mean, they're building a billion-dollar, Disney World out there. They got to be able to, they got to have a team that's a draw there, at least one of them. So the Rams and then New York. I mean, how long can New York be this freaking pathetic? It doesn't help anyone. Next.
They are all suckbag offenses through the year. Holy crap.
Number two, over under. Super Bowl wins for Lamar Jackson. Over under 1.5.
I said under because they would have to win it this year because Greg Roman will get a head coaching job, and he's responsible for all this in Baltimore. And then Harbaugh.
This is like the new Adam Gase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, overthinking it.
And then Harbaugh will bring in.
No, he loves these
Marty corners. Morningwig or some other idiot who was terrible, and he'll be washed out of the league.
Over.
Lamar Jackson's going to win.
Yep, I think they're going to win one with this kid.
Yeah, I think over. He's only 22, so maybe he learns to stay in the pocket a little bit more. The way he plays doesn't feel sustainable, but he's just 22.
Under. Next. Benintendi's sort of an untouchable to me because I think he's Fred Lynn. Okay, if you could take one player from last night's game, obviously, Niners, Seahawks, and put him on the Patriots, who would you take? Please give me two names.
Deebo Samuel from the Niners, just because they need speed and they need a receiver. Ugh. And Kyle Youssef, the fullback. They need one.
Does Kittle qualify?
Of course.
He's my second.
He wasn't in the game last night.
Well, he's my second.
All right.
My first is Russell Wilson.
Kittle would have been my number
one. I think Wilson, with the issues the Patriots have on the offensive line, his willingness to throw to everybody on the roster, and his ability to extend plays... You put him on the Patriots right now, you're winning the Super Bowl.
And you hate Brady. So it's
Wait a minute.
So you think
if Russell Wilson was on the Patriots right now, like say they acquired him, that he would be playing over Tom Brady and would give them a better chance to win the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah.
You're insane.
Yeah, I would take Russell Wilson over Tom Brady now. I would.
What are they? 7-1, 8-1? 7-1? They're favorites to win the Super Bowl? What else do you need? They need other pieces.
Is it crazy to say that Wilson's playing better than Brady right now? I mean, is that just so unbelievably wrong?
Maybe not, but he's just a different quarterback. I mean,
exactly.
It's a different offense. You can make the case
he's playing better. It's debatable because it's circumstantial, but he's a winner and he's won. So I don't find it that outrageous.
It's not a question in a vacuum. Like, you're talking about putting Russell Wilson in this offense. Tom Brady is by far the best quarterback to run this offense. It's not even close. I don't care how good Russell Wilson is playing in Seattle. I don't care who he's throwing to. If you're operating this offense, Tom Brady is the best person.
Quickly, Murray.
Kittle and Bobby Wagner. Those are my two picks.
Okay. Garoppolo 1, Kittle 2. Thus concludes 10 questions. Back to your phones after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Nelson will snap. Wishnowsky will hold. McLaughlin will try to become a hero that none of you even knew who he was about 4 hours ago to win the game and to keep the 49ers perfect. Snap from Kyle Nelson. Wishnowsky has it away. McLaughlin's kick. He hooked it. It is no good. It is wide left. Game's not over. 3:06 to play. It's not over.
So that's obviously the San Fran radio call of the Niners' missed kick in overtime. As he hooked that, he hooked it right down the tunnel. I think he may have... I think he sculled a poor stadium worker inside that tunnel.
Castrated him?
Oh, he freaking took someone out.
Yeah, Barstool had a video of it. He did almost take a guy out. There's like from the behind the guy. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, no, he sent it down the freaking tunnel. Almost killed someone down there. That kick was so bad. As he was drilling that down the tunnel, I was writing down, I like this guy. This is the guy the Patriots should have brought in. Because I've been saying it forever that I want a no-name guy who I'd never heard of. Some young kid with a big leg and an empty head. I said it a million times. And that kid seemed like perfect. Never heard of him. Big leg, empty head. I even think they threw up a graphic at one point that said he had never attempted in college or the pros an overtime field goal attempt. And I went, perfect. He has no baggage. He doesn't know what not to know. He has nothing's crawled inside his head and taken a dump. This is the kind of guy they should bring in. Oh, never mind. And I'm writing that down right when he drills that thing down the tunnel.
I mean, there are bad kicks, and then there are like, then there's that.
Holy smokes.
Wow. Talk about someone who just, you know, in the play-by-play of it on TV last night. What's his name? Tessitore? Okay. Like, he was like, wow, he short-legged it. Like, he was all over him. I was like, wow, boy, talk about a rip job. I mean, he didn't pull any punches on it at all. That was brutal. That was like Jean Vandeveld at the British Open.
Oh, God.
That was freaking brutal.
Maybe that's why Bill likes veteran kickers. Because that happens. I mean, he drilled it from the same distance to tie the thing. That was a bigger pressure kick than the one in overtime.
You would think.
Nothing to lose in overtime. The one at the end of regulation, they lose the game if he misses it. And he was dead down the middle. So I'm writing down, this is the guy they should have... Oh, no, never mind. So, again, it'll teach me. Did you have one more pent-up thought about Jimmy Garoppolo that you wanted to get out before, Greg?
Have you forgotten it? I think it's just mostly, you know, people... I understand you want to feel good about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, and Patriots fans want to relish in that. I understand that. But, like...
You may feel good in his failures.
Yes, but let's not make more of it than it was, all right? He got a little bit sped up. It happens. It happens to all quarterbacks. He struggled a little bit. Happens to Brady. Brady stunk against the Bills. No one said, you know, he stinks and shouldn't be a quarterback anymore in the league. He had a bad night, all right? And still, he had them with a field goal attempt to win the freaking game. So it couldn't have been that bad.
He had a bad night, and he still had him in position to win.
Yes. So,
in fact, you could argue they should have won.
Everybody should slow the roll a little bit.
I still like him.
Especially... Murray over
there.
Yeah,
well, talk to Murray.
No, I won't. And I appreciate what Greg had to say there, but Brady is also 29-3 against the Bills. So, no, I'm not going to slow my roll. I'm going to be proven right. Jimmy Garoppolo, especially come playoff time. So I'm dug in here, just like Maz is dug in on the Celtics stinking and Kemba Walker becoming a problem. And Mike over there with Brian Hoyer being able to win 10 wins.
What'd you say Brady's record was at Buffalo?
29-3 against the Bills.
Oh. Garoppolo 16-3 in his career.
Ooh, yeah, because they got this great defense, and he just keeps rolling along as the sidecar.
So how come
the reckoning's coming?
How come the records count for everyone other than Garoppolo?
No, because Murray's like a caller now.
I don't get it.
No, he's like a caller.
Either you go to the record or you don't go to the record.
Correct.
No, the record matters to Brady because he's been around long enough. But, see, this is just, that's premature. It's premature Garoppolation is what you're doing here, too.
Sample size.
Yeah, sample size. Sample size matters.
Okay. The thing about the season ending with Garoppolo throwing a pick, I can totally see.
Yes.
I mean, that, frankly, that's probably how it's going to happen. That's not saying anything, Murray. I mean, that they're going to be behind in a game. He's going to have to be throwing out of his ass to bring him back in the last minute because they got beat. And he's going to, you know, it's going to get picked off. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, that's, if you're saying that he has a big turnover game that really costs him the game, that's different than saying he'll throw a pick to end it. Like, that's probably, odds are, that's probably how it's going to happen. I mean, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I just again, but based on last night, that sex pest led that team to 16 points, three field goals, one touchdown, and his turnovers resulted in 21 points given away. That's a 5-point differential. Even I can do that math.
Yes.
So he lost them the game. He's the reason the 49ers lost. And his nervousness in the pocket trickled down to the other players, like that idiot kicker, and that's why he missed that kick.
So that point's ridiculous. But yeah. But if you want to say he lost them the game, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue.
How'd Brady
do
in Buffalo? How many scoring drives did he have in that game?
They won.
You know, the one Brandon Bolden touchdown. Matthew Slater had a touchdown. You know, so 16-10. All right, let's slow down a little bit.
I mean, right? I think the biggest problem on the Niners is their receiving core, frankly.
Well, particularly
he didn't have anybody last night. I mean,
those guys,
no Kittle.
Oh, my God, those guys sucked. I mean, the interception was not – he should have thrown four interceptions, but the one that he actually did have wasn't his fault, ironically. You know,
that was high.
If Brady had one of those games where he was getting killed and there was pressure on him, and Garoppolo's pressure rate last night was 40%, which was a lot, and then, you know, people were dropping passes and Brady's throwing a no-name people, no one would come in here the next day and rip Brady.
No, they'd be ripping Bourne. They'd be ripping Debo Samuel. They'd be ripping Goodwin. All these guys that drop balls. Key third down balls. Key balls for an interception. I mean,
I didn't love Garoppolo's answer after the game when they asked him. And, you know, he said, well, we're going to improve on everything. You know, and he said, throwing the ball. And he said, yeah, throwing the ball, catching the ball. I didn't love that. Did not love that.
And he talked about Samuel having a good game. And, yeah, he had some leading comments.
Did he call someone toots or doll, too?
Oh, babe, Murray.
Up, babe? Babe.
Long commercial-free segment is next. I promise. Your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, wrap it up with phones with Bedard as promised. Here's Nick in the car. What do you got, Nick?
Hey, guys. I couldn't help but listen to Maz as he was stroking Jacob Hollister, you know, complimenting him on how he has so... Russell Wilson has so much faith in him, and he's looking to him. If you actually rewatch that touchdown catch, after the catch, first off, he overthrew Tyler Lockett. And you actually hear Jacob Hollister, as he's celebrating, run up to Russell Wilson and say, I know that wasn't meant for me. So you may want to go back and look at that. He doesn't have any trust in the kid. He happened to throw the ball, and he caught it. But that's what happened. So
did he throw to him? Nick, did he throw to him in overtime?
He did, but I'm just saying on that particular play that you brought up, saying that he has no trust in him.
He has no trust in him, but he threw to him in overtime of a key division game. Do you stand by that, or are you just crying about the fact that Russell Wilson threw to a guy that you cut? Is that what it is? Because it felt to me like Russell Wilson trusted that guy. I don't know. He threw to him in overtime. So did he not trust him? In fact, he threw an interception on the play. Maybe he trusted him too much. Maybe you can make that case. Maybe you just don't like the commentary that Jacob Hollister was shut out here or was cut here and went and played well for someone else. Maybe you just don't like that. because you're like 8 years old. Maybe that's possible. Sorry, I lost my temper on that.
I mean, what he's really mad at is that I praised Russell Wilson.
Yes, correct.
And in the process, took a shot at Brady.
Correct.
So again, because, you know, Murray thinks I'm a Brady hater and I can't stand the guy.
Well, you know who else might be? Josh Gordon. Apparently, this just from the John Clayton show on 710 in Seattle, doing an interview with John Clayton. This'll make everyone's panties in a bunch. Josh Gordon knows who the real MVP is. Clayton asked him about going from Cleveland to New England to Seattle. And the quote from Josh Gordon is, "Seems like in this part of my career, I'm trending upwards in quarterbacks." Ooh.
All right, so I don't care about Josh Gordon. The Patriots are in the right. You know, how many chances are you going to give a guy? I don't care about Josh Gordon. I don't really care about Jacob Hollister. My point is, when's the last little success story you had like Jacob Hollister among the pass catchers?
Edelman.
That's all I'm saying.
But he had to be here for years.
Long time ago, and you have these success stories, undrafted guys, fringe roster guys, all over the roster at every other position. It's one of your calling cards of your program of the last 20 years. Malcolm Butler, J.C. Jackson on down the line. There's a million of them. Kyle Van Noy, you trade a seventh-round pick. I know Kyle was a second-round pick at one point, was supposed to be something. But by the time you traded for him, was a fringe roster guy. It was a seventh-round pick you gave up for him. He came in here, and now he's like a star. And so, like, you have a million of these stories of guys that go from the bottom of the roster or off the roster to key roles. When's the last time that happened at a pass-catching position?
Kenbrell Tompkins.
Okay? Like, it's been a long time. That's my point. If that upsets you, I can't help you. I can't help the fact that Russell Wilson threw to Jacob Hollister. Not my fault.
10 times he threw to him, and he completed 8.
Oh, God. Let's get sensitive about that. I think this is D in the truck. Go ahead, D.
Yeah, all right. How you guys doing, man? Appreciate you guys getting to my call. Just before I get to my point to Maz, I'd like to let you guys know I called back when you got the Patriots lost to Green Bay when they won the Super Bowl, and I told you guys the friggin' offense was going to need to step up, and that's ultimately, in my opinion, what won the Super Bowl, even with Malcolm Butler's interception. But even to Maz being so stupid to say that friggin' Russell Wilson is something that he would take over Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not making that throw in the Super Bowl to get intercepted on the friggin' 1 yard line. So, Maz, you need to do your research there, buddy. Tom Brady is a smart quarterback. He's not going to make that dumb throw.
No, you're right. He just fumbles it away to Philadelphia with 2 minutes to go. There's a difference there. I mean, you know, again, he's impervious to any sort of mistake at a big time. So, look, again, I knew this would piss people off. I think Russell Wilson right now is the best quarterback in the league. I do. Sorry. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. Or maybe I should say he's having the best year. And he's in the prime of his career. I don't think anybody's playing the position better right now than Russell Wilson is. That pick he threw last night, the guy was open. It was a bad. It's not like he threw.
I think it was Hollister.
Yeah, it was Hollister. And there was a window there. He had an opening. So he made a bad throw, but it was not a bad decision. He made a bad throw, but the throw was there. I mean, the opening was there.
Tony in Holbrook. Hi, Tony. What do you got on last night?
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Do you guys think it will tell NFL fans a lot who the 49ers really are if they will travel to Baltimore to play the Ravens in 3 weeks because the Patriots lost in regular season?
Okay, so, the Niners have... They're at New Orleans. They're at Baltimore. They're home Green Bay. They have to go to Seattle. I mean, they got a
killer schedule down the stretch.
Starting with last night, their whole second half just about. They're at, I think they host Arizona this week. But other than that, pretty much every other game's a test for them. So I would not be surprised one bit if Seattle catches them for the division, in fact, which is why the way Shanahan handled that last series is just, boy, did he mismanage that. A tie gives the Niners all they need. They look weak if they play for the tie there. But you're still two games up in the division. Be smart, man. And not to take any time off the clock on that last possession was a big mistake, I thought.
Again, they ran three plays and took 16 seconds off the clock without the Seattle using a timeout or having a timeout.
Brutal.
Three plays, 16 seconds.
We'll get back to your phones in 1 second. Greg, before you get out of here, give me a minute on the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, look, Wentz hasn't been back to the same level as before the injury. And also, but the bigger thing is the defense. I mean, you know, the Patriots are coming off a bye. They got to reset. They got to figure out what they can and can't do. The offense is going to need to do some stuff in this game. I think the Eagles, look, we know by now that the Eagles, Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, you know, all those guys, they give the Patriots trouble. They give this defense trouble. And so I think they're gonna score a few points on the Patriots, not a ton, but the offense is gonna probably have to get into the 20s in this game. You know, can they do that? I don't know. You know, we'll see.
If you're the Eagles or anyone else, can you go to school on what the Ravens did?
Defensively?
Or is Lamar Jackson so unique that you can't really?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask Wentz to do what Lamar Jackson did. And plus, they're just not built to do sort of, you know, some of the old school veer stuff that the Ravens did against the Patriots. But they're probably going to have to use Wentz's mobility a little bit more, get him out of the pocket. But, you know, I think this is going to be more about the Patriots offense and a lot of these big games down the stretch. It's going to be more about the Patriots offense and the Patriots defense, and can they do enough?
What's the toughest game for the Patriots down the stretch? Is it this one?
I think it's this one.
Me too.
On the road, that's a tough environment. An offense that you've had trouble with historically, I think this is the toughest one.
Okay. Thanks, Big Boy, for coming in. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
Big Boy Tuesday thus concludes. He'll be back next Tuesday after that Patriots game at the Eagles. We take no commercials here, just an update from Murray. And back to your football stuff, I want to ask Maz the biggest issue facing the Patriots as they hit into the second half of their season. We'll do that with your calls right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.